Hello and welcome to Think Rant, the thinking person's podcast for brain-damaged individuals. Today is Thursday, July 21st, 2011, and I'm your host, John Stabler. Joining me this week is the only human to have ever survived the unbearable pain of getting a tattoo on the inside of his urethra. It's regular co-host and comedy god, Trevor Williams.
Ow!
Trevor's not here this week. He's off having his legs waxed and getting...
No, I am. You just introduced me.
Oh, did I say Trevor?
Steve, yeah.
And I had this all planned out. Steven's not here. He's off having his legs waxed.
Got interchangeable fat blokes. That's fine.
Well, that's ruined all that gag. I'm going to skip that one now. I'm not going to bother with that. It's okay. I needed to be corrected. So Steve's not here. In his place, we have a guest who makes his third appearance on the podcast. His claim to fame is that he's the only person who's managed to get some cash out of that tight-fisted bastard epidemiologist Ben Goldacre to buy a pizza. It's Rhys. I'll have a bleach and coke, Morgan. How was that intro?
Hello.
Is that right?
Good.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it. Okay. Let me get the... Right, it's going to be one of those podcasts, isn't it? So that's it. It's gone to pot. It's gone to pot already in the first minute. So I'm going to do some announcements and then we'll just see where the hell it goes from there. So let me get some announcements out of the way before we launch into another jam-packed episode. You can download ThinkRant episodes on iTunes or directly from the audio archive on our blog at thinkrant.blogspot.com. On there you'll find some interesting posts by the hosts, as well as a link to our online store where you can help us out by buying an official ThinkRant t-shirt. Have you got yours yet, Rhys?
No, I haven't yet. I was hoping that you'd give me one.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
The jokes write themselves.
You've got to be careful what you say when the thing's being recorded.
Yeah, definitely. I am so sampling that. I'll continue. If you want to take part in the show, you can send us feedback, random thought. Oh, he's just got it. Great. Sorry, I'll carry on.
I didn't just get it. The internet connection is clearly delayed.
Okay. If you want to take part in the show, you can send us feedback, random thoughts.
You're a dirty man.
He is a bad man.
What the hell, guys? This is so getting edited. Oh, sorry. Apologies to live listeners, by the way. If you want to take part in the show, you can send... Oh, for fuck's sake.
We made a decision. We didn't want to intimidate anybody with our professionalism. So we just decided early on that... It was going to go all to cock.
Shit. Okay.
And in that sense, it's going to plan.
Okay. All right. Let me just get through the next three paragraphs, okay? And then it doesn't matter what happens, okay? If you want to take part in the show, you can send us feedback, random thoughts, and messages of hate by either tweeting us at ThinkRant, joining our Facebook group, or you can now send us email at our new email address, info@thinkrant.co.uk. Also, the feed for the live stream is changing. It's currently thinkrant.sabre.tv, but it's migrating to stream.thinkrant.co.uk over the next few weeks. So if you do listen live, you'll need to change that address in P2P Radio. Both of them will be active for the next couple of weeks, but you will need to change over. Finally, we've noticed some people leaving some nice reviews on the ThinkRant page on iTunes. Thank you very much to all of these people who've taken time to do so, and we'd like to encourage more people to do it. If, however, you got negative feedback, then don't bother. Now, Trev, I'm just going to hand over to you, mate, while I have a drink.
Okay. Negative feedback. Great. We just don't want to scare people off, you know. Don't be afraid of chatting to us. You know, we're people like you. In fact, a bit thicker. So, you know, just leave your review. Have a chat. Send us a message. It's all a laugh, isn't it?
I swear.
So, I
spent so long writing that introduction, right? And it's got to be the worst introduction we've ever had on any podcast.
It's my fault.
Okay.
We'll carry on, Trev. Yeah, we will be blaming you. Don't you worry.
But yeah, we've been very lucky this week just because there is so much crap to talk about. There's shed loads. We're not going to be able to get through it. In fact, we could nominate like one major story and say, like if we're not going to talk about phone hacking, we'd be fine. Still plenty of other stuff.
That's correct.
So,
in fact, should we try that?
What, the phone
because
hacking?
Everybody, Yeah, just avoiding that.
Okay, we'll cut that one out because, to be honest, apart from some guy throwing a pie in his face, you know, I want to wait longer, maybe. I think something else is... There's going to be some interesting stuff happening on that, so I think we'll revisit it.
Yeah, don't make people bored of the story.
Yeah.
There's plenty of juicy stuff to come.
So, go on then, you get to pick the story.
Okay. Well, I wish I hadn't said that we can't touch it now, because there's one thing I want to talk about, which is talking about it. It's utterly brilliant. It's Melanie Phillips.
Oh, here we go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you read it this week?
Is this her rant against the BBC being a horrible
BBC
leftist propaganda machine?
Oh, it's a beautiful piece. If Miliband is such a hero, why won't he tackle the real threat to our way of life? The BBC. Brilliant. The reason why Murdoch is so evil is he has too much power over British public life. But this is transparently disingenuous, for there is a media oligarchy which exercises far more power in Britain than News International, and that is the BBC. And then she bangs on about it.
I don't even know if I agree with that. You know, what the hell? All the papers, basically. And let's be honest, only clever people read the BBC website. Everyone else is leaving comments on the Mail Online.
Good point.
Yeah.
There's not like four pages of her banging on. And she's just ranting and changing subjects. She sounds like a drunk person banging on in the pub who's talking about something or other and then thinking, oh, I haven't said anything racist yet. Oh, I'll throw something else in. Oh, I haven't said anything yet about bloody kids making noise outside my house. I'll say something about that. She seems like she's drawing in a bunch of different subjects that have very little to do with her title. Baking a pie of nonsense. Nonsense and spite in a pie.
I think she's bizarre. Just jealous that she doesn't have a cushy job on the BBC.
Yes, that could well be.
Because you know for a fact, if they offered her a job, she'd be straight in there. And also, I bet you she pays a licence fee, so, you know, she can't be that ideologically against it.
Yeah, take a stand, bitch.
Yeah, put up or shut up.
Exactly. Oh, dear. But yeah, there's all sorts of problems in what she's saying. I know it's supposed to be a column. It's supposed to be opinion. But if you catch somebody talking absolute shite, then you should really point it out. Where's this paragraph? Here we go. For his motives surely have precious little to do with any criminal behaviour or monopoly power. No, the real reason is that for the past three decades, the left has been desperate to bring Murdoch down. Hang on. Has she forgotten about Tony Blair? For over a third of these last three decades, Blair was playing footsie with Murdoch. They were perfectly happy.
Yeah, exactly.
But she's just choosing to edit the world for her own convenience. Apparently Murdoch ignites passions far more incendiary than are generated by any tyrant or war criminal. Mad. And the reason is that he acts as a kind of lightning rod for left-wingers, the object of a massive displacement neurosis arising from all their rage and disappointment, not least with themselves. You see, I pretend to hate Murdoch, with his herding of public opinion, crippling of unions, and puppeteering of British politics, because I actually hate myself.
This is true.
I'll consider a you-hate-yourself argument from nearly anyone, but not Melanie Phillips. I can't hate myself when Melanie Phillips is talking, or my hate organs are busy.
And also, I'd like to point out today that it wasn't enough that she wrote her article, but it had to be rewritten and represented by Stephen Glover, who basically wrote the same opinion piece, talking about how much the BBC sucks and we need to get rid of it because it's really lefty.
Yeah, some annoying new toady MP brought it up in Prime Minister's Questions as well. Virtually the same thing. Oh yeah, everybody's having a go at Murdoch, but what about the BBC?
So is this the only defence they've got of News International, is to go, the BBC as well, they do it too? Because that's kind of lame, to be honest. But also, before we segue anywhere else, I think this dovetails nicely into the report today that says that the BBC needs to stop pandering to idiots and treating their opinions is equal to scientific fact. Did you hear about this?
Oh, brilliant. No, I haven't heard about that.
Mm.
Is that...
Yeah. It was very good. I read part of the report about homeopathy, and basically the report said that the BBC Trust or some... I think it was the BBC Trust or someone went through BBC reporting of science, and they said, yeah, the BBC is good at reporting science accurately, but there are some things that it could do better, such as not having on idiots or not giving them as much time or, you know, that sort of thing.
But, I mean,
yeah,
you're
not
looking,
insisting
it was very
on
positive.
Balance when yeah, there's
fake
no
balance,
reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. And that's
exactly.
What it was.
They were talking about real balance.
Yeah, they were describing fake, what they put fake balance in inverted commas. You know, we're talking things like climate skepticism, homeopathy, and just basically MMR was another one that was mentioned within the report. And it was just, it was good to see someone talking some sense for once, because it had got to the point where Johnny Normal would think that two sides of the argument were being put forward and that the answer lay in between somewhere, where that wasn't actually the case. So they've said that journalists need to be a bit more responsible and say, look, don't put a crank on, you know, by all means have dissenting opinion, but don't put a crank on and give him as equal weight as, you know, the scientific community or something like that. So I think that was a win for rationalism, really.
Oh, yeah, that sounds
yes.
Brilliant.
One thing that I've got to say about both these stories, though, is I think the reason that you two hate Melanie Phillips and News International so much is because the BBC has brainwashed you. And this latest piece of science propaganda is clearly pandering to your, you know, your mentality, and is your non-criticism of this is clear evidence that you are brainwashed by the BBC.
Well, let me stop you there, because I'm going to invoke argument from P.Z. Myers.
That's true. Instant win.
Which he says, to be fair, it's not his fault that reality has a liberal bias. So, sorry, I get to just completely disregard what you said, sorry.
Well, that's good, because I don't actually believe what I just said, you know? It's just playing devil's advocate.
Hey, Reese, don't bring your fucking rhetorical shit on here, okay, right? Bloody hell. If we wanted that, we'd have had Steve on. I'm joking.
Ouch.
I got to make up for the lousy introduction, okay? Right. So
you're going to do that by insulting me?
Well, that's the only reason we got you on, isn't it?
Oh, right, okay. I'm just a scapegoat, am I?
No. We're only joking, Reese, because... Are you done on this, Trev? Because I think Reese has something really, really good to talk about.
So now you're going to abandon to me, are you?
To make up.
Hey, I'm the hostess with the mostest, all right?
You're a hostess, are you?
I couldn't think of a better thing to say, but...
I haven't read the story that you were talking about, but it sounds brilliant. You'll have to point it out to me after the podcast, because I was getting just bloody sick of... You know, if there are loads of deaths in a hospital, you'd want to talk to a coroner. And lately, you imagine that they would also have Derek Acora on the other side to talk from the point of view of all the people who actually died.
It was getting that way, but somebody's obviously kicked up a fuss, and I'm glad to see a good result.
Yes, brilliant.
Does that mean that they're going to rule out people like UKIP and the BNP from all kind of political debate?
If only.
Well, no, with that, I think they have to give them an amount of time equivalent to their sort of their share of political power.
Oh, so the Lib Dems are screwed.
Or political representation.
But then the BNP gets to put on like full 5-minute presentations when it comes to the general election. I remember the Welsh political public broadcaster, the BNP, which had a racist nun on it, which was quite touching.
A racist nun?
Racist nan.
Oh, nun. Right, sorry. Yeah, right, I had this vision of this nun, you know, telling, you know, dark people to go away or something. I don't know. Get off the parish!
Oh, God. No, it was like, you could see how clearly they were trying to win votes by doing what seemed like good things. Well, I'm a politician, but I don't want you to see me like a politician, because I give X percent of my paycheck to charities, and therefore you should vote for the BNP, which is basically what their entire thing was.
Yeah.
It was a hilarious advert, wrong reasons.
It was a disgrace, wasn't it? And I'm not racist at all. I'm not even mentioning racism. In fact, who brought up the subject of racism? That wasn't me. Shut up. Stop saying racism at me. It's nothing to do with me. And then just getting flustered and saying, quick, Nan, come on here and start shouting about dark. And just saying appalling, dreadful things to try and make it seem like the appalling, dreadful man who actually wrote and paid for the ad isn't the appalling bigot, because it's the middle of it all.
Mm. I remember watching it agog.
Hey, stop being racist.
Hey?
Well, agog? Agog is a North Walian.
You're being racist to North Welsh people.
Yeah, stop it. Bloody
hell. Okay. I didn't know what you were about. I've never heard that term before.
What, agog? Yeah.
Seriously?
Well, yeah. You're not. Do you consider yourself Welsh?
I am Welsh.
Well, obviously not if you don't know what agog is.
I'm sorry, I haven't passed your criteria for Welshiness.
Yeah, my subjective criteria.
But being born in Wales, living in Wales, and having spent most of my life in Wales, I think that's more the qualification.
Sorry, man.
Hang on, before we... Okay, we need to move on. Seriously. But before we do, because I'm looking at the time, and before we move on to what I know is going to be something that we're going to talk about for a long time... It's that time, folks, where we do Guess the Year.
Hooray! Oh, yes.
Okay, so, for those new listeners that we've got after our most awesome episode with PZ Myers, because no one used to listen to us before that, now I get crazy email every week. So here's the rules. Trev and Reese, I will read out some clues to you. All this stuff happened within the year. You get to call out your name and then guess a year. Whoever gets it right wins some prize. Maybe a t-shirt, you never know. So, there's something to play for this week.
Sorry.
But take this seriously and you got bloody tears of laughter.
Oh god. It's all gone wrong.
Okay, I can control myself. And okay. Reese has lost it.
Right. If you two get into one of these laughter feedback things, I suggest one of you mutes yourself so the feedback stops.
No, that's kind of the problem.
Well, whenever you mute on this thing, it says why you mute, and you can write whatever silly thing you want. Like, muted to have a quick wank, muted to crack one off, and then unmute it. So, yeah. For people who think we're being unprofessional, you have no idea how hard it is to keep a straight face with all this. And you're getting it live.
Right, you two are staying behind after class for an extra 10 minutes because we're going to lose about 10 minutes of material on this thing now.
Okay.
Carry on.
Are we ready to play Guess the Year?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Here we go. January the 6th, Global Positioning System Time Epoch begins. 00 UTC. I know that's a random one, but a geek would know the answer to that one. March the 1st, the Voyager 1 probe confirms the existence of Janus, a moon of Saturn. I take it it's pronounced Janus or Janus. November, the first annual Children in Need charity appeal organised by the BBC.
Ooh, can I guess?
That's the game.
Okay. I'm going to guess 1986.
No, you're wrong. You're locked in on the next clue.
1984.
No, you're wrong.
we're both locked out on the next clue.
April 18th, Zimbabwe gains independence from the UK. Robert Mugabe becomes Prime Minister.
Trev, 1982?
Nope. May 18th, Mount St. Helens erupts in Washington, killing 57 and causing $3 billion worth of damage. By the way, no Googling. I heard some typing going on there.
Bad Trev.
It says, Reese, muted to Google.
Oh. You liar.
July 24th, Peter Sellers dies.
Trev, 1985.
Wrong. Oh. In this year, Sinclair Research releases the ZX80 home computer and Acorn Computers releases the Atom. Go on.
Oh, actually, I'm locked out of this one because I said 1985.
Yeah, mine. 1986.
Trev's already...
No, I said that already!
Next clue.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
Okay.
The blue, yeah.
1980.
Yeah, you're right.
The ZX80 was kind of the giveaway there. I really.
Not everybody knows what the 80 is about, so I don't.
I didn't. I can't believe I guessed the same year twice.
After the clue ZX80 came up.
And the final two clues were The Blue Lagoon is the ninth highest grossing film starring Jailbait Brooke Shields. And May 21st, Star Wars Episode 5 Empire Strikes Back is released. But you didn't need them, Trev, because you know about the ZX80.
Kind of spoon-fed that one, thanks.
No problem. Right, that's brilliant. It. I've done all my bits.
Conspiracy.
I've done my intro. I've done my feature. Okay, that's it. I give up on the rest of this podcast. It's between the rest. It's between you two now.
Bollocks! I'm out. Yeah.
Oh God, we're going to be laughing for the whole thing.
So,
John,
Reece,
John is now muted because bollocks to you.
Reece,
right.
I think you should talk about something now.
Yes, I'm here to talk about a talk. I think I mentioned this before in the last podcast I was on, about Paul Jape and Gary Smith, who came and did a talk at the Pythagoras Lectures in Cardiff University about autism, yeast, and infections, and inflammation.
And honeybees.
And cancer and the honeybee, yeah. it's a lot of unrelated things, or so you might think. They've got a theory that connects them all. So, yeah, basically it all starts in Cardiff University, where we go to the Pythagoras Lectures, and Gary Smith and Paul Jape are invited to do a talk after me, talking about the aforementioned things. So, just to give you an introduction, Gary Smith, he went to do an Open University course in inflammation, or something along those lines. He did an Open University course in something similar.
And just inflammation, because that's going to be a pretty short course, you know, just inflammation.
I can't remember exactly what it was. It was something like that. It was, but I know he did quite a lot in inflammation, apparently. And then he met Paul Jape, who is apparently a recovered ME sufferer patient thing. ME stands for myalgic encephalomyelitis. ME, just for those who don't know, is a chronic disease, which means generally it lasts for your entire lifetime. The main symptoms of which are fatigue, muscle and joint pain, sore throat, and a load of other horrible symptoms. The cause is unknown as of yet. But Paul Jape is apparently recovered, even though there's no known cure for it yet. You can treat the symptoms, but again, no known cure of it.
Could it be a miracle?
It could be a miracle mineral solution. No, damn, that went wrong. He said inflammation is apparent in most diseases, which isn't true. You know, it's not all diseases that will cause inflammation, will cause the body's immune system to produce inflammation. You know, you can get other diseases I can think of, like the common cold. I don't think that would cause inflammation, that's necessarily.
Well, it usually does in the sinuses, but, you know.
It can do. But, you know, most illnesses possibly will produce some inflammation. Not all of them, and that's how they sort of produce this factoid.
Okay, well, hang on, maybe I can help you out here before you continue.
Okay.
I think when we talk about illness, we talk about anything that obviously makes us feel not normal, you know, if we agree on that. So you could say there's a genetic illness, so that's just basically you're not normal because of a genetic reason. So obviously that's not causing inflammation. But when we're talking about an infection or, you know, some foreign thing in your body, there's going to be an associated immune response. So carry on.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So then they came up with a claim that diseases induce inflammation directly. So rather than the body responding to the disease produces something which then causes more inflammation. You can see how that might be possible, so whatever. And they came up with the claim that cancer causes inflammation directly, which is a little bit more iffy. Because cancer is not, it can cause inflammation, which is understandable, because that's the body's immune system trying to fight off the cells and failing. But how cancer, which is just overgrowing cells due to usually age damaging the DNA, how that can directly cause inflammation is beyond me. And then they started getting odd. Paul J. Well, yeah, okay, it was odd throughout the first bit of the talk, but then this is where they started getting really odd. Paul Jape, who is apparently a recovered ME patient, as I said before, he came out with the claim that encephalomyelitis, which he suffered, is an infection. And he came out with this wonderful thing, saying, now the doctors will tell you that they don't know what causes chronic fatigue syndrome / myalgic encephalomyelitis yet, but it's an infection. I can tell you that now. It's definitely infection. It's a special type of infection. It's a stealth infection. And I was in the front row and I was face-palming at this at the moment.
I love that quote. Stealth infection. They say it a couple of times.
Mm. Well, no, the bit for me that stealth I like about infection. That is, trust me, it's an infection. I'm like, oh.
Doctors don't know, but yeah. It is. Okay.
Exactly. That's how it came out. He was like, I don't care what those doctors say, it's an infection, and you best not listen to any of them. Yeah, and then it came out with, now we're going to talk about gut flora, and the gut flora is what produces the immune system, and fair play, it does produce most of the immune system, but not all of it. Consider your bone marrow, which produces a lot of the white blood cells. That's not part of your gut flora, and yet that's a major part of your immune system. But no, so he was pointing out that gut flora produces immune system.
That was one of my favourite bits, right? Because you said to him, you asked the question about that, saying that white blood cells come from bones, from the bone marrow. And obviously that's not the gut flora, where there are no bones around there, for God's sake. And he said, well, yeah, white blood cells come from there, but they're trained by the gut flora. So they magically appear for basic training in the gut for the flora to be like the drill sergeant and tell them what to do, or there are some qualified white blood cells in your bloodstream, and then some others like the territorials who don't really know what they're doing yet. They're going down to the gut to get their training and the uniform.
Yes,
it hadn't occurred to him.
It was entirely bizarre. Okay, so then they said, now, if your gut flora is altered in any way, then you have immune suppression, which, to an extent, might be understandable. I mean, there is a great example. When you're born, you get your gut flora. It fills with bacteria, and that actually just takes up the physical space of your gut. And if you do have antibiotics, and you have a lot of them, it can cause you to have C. difficile overgrowth in your gut. Or you can have small bowel bacteria overgrowth and large bowel bacteria overgrowth. These are real diseases, and they can, you know, cause some symptoms. Of course, C. difficile is the worst, because it's like a super bug. But these are very rare side effects. It's not worth saying what they then go on to say. Paul Jape, he then goes on to talk about a Dr. Cranton and a Dr. Crook who told him that he had ME, and I went and Googled, and they're quacks, understandably. Dr. Cranton, I think this was, he talks about yeast on his website, which is a well-known quack therapy. He has metal toxicity, so he gives out chelation. That's a real thing, but generally you don't want it advertised on a website. You want it to be given by a real doctor. He claims to endorse evidence-based medical treatment. He's talking about yeast-related illnesses, which is not evidence-based at all. And hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which, again, isn't very evidence-based at all. He talks about hyperbaric oxygen in cerebral palsy and brain damaged children, stroke victims, multiple sclerosis. So, yeah, he's a quack, quite honestly.
So basically, oxygen is a good thing. Well, that's brilliant. How did he work that out?
I mean, the one thing I took away from all of this is it's just like one big argument from authority, because they want to talk
exactly
about
what it was.
Yeah, they want to talk about they say, oh, two doctors said that I had ME, but you know, Doctors...
And it's caused by an infection.
Yeah, but doctor can cover a lot of things. And, you know, as we found with things like creationism and things like that, there's a lot of people that have, you know, doctor in front of their name. Doesn't mean they're qualified to actually say anything on the specifics. So for him to say two doctors, I think that's disingenuous for him to say that two doctors have basically said, I've got ME, when both of them were quacks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I mean, this Dr. Cranton is an MD. He's got, he's a proper MD in America, which is actually quite worrying, in my opinion, that a lot of these MDs in America, they are real doctors, but then they can go off and do lots of quacky things, which is a bit worrying. But, yeah, and what the most hilarious thing for me, I've got to say, is he said, doctors will tell you that they don't know what causes ME, but these two doctors told me that it's an infection, so it's an infection, trust me.
Yeah.
When you actually look at it, it's you know, it's like, I'm not going to believe all these other doctors, but I'm going to believe these two doctors who've told me it's an infection. Because I'd rather know that it's something than not know what it is.
Mm.
There were so many weird appeals to people. There was that bit where the fella with the weird voice, it was a bit odd. I can't remember which one that was.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the guy that I thought was like the old man, because obviously I only had the audio. He sounded like an old man who just pitched up to say...
That was Paul Jape.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Paul Jape, he was saying, it's all about yeast. And then he said, women know about yeast, yeah? And he's basically saying, look, ladies...
You've got thrush.
I told you this, and you've had it, haven't you? Come on. So you know yeast is bad.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get on to the yeast bit
that
now.
It works.
So yeah, so Paul Jape then said, now Dr. Cranton and Dr. Crook have written books about called The Yeast Connection. They've found in practice that the use of antibiotics altered gut flora in favour of yeast, which, as far as I can tell, isn't true. Not enough to alter it in favour of any other particular thing. It'll just decrease the number of gut flora that you have.
Yeah, and what does in favour of mean? How much? How fast?
Well, exactly.
Where's your data?
Exactly. He didn't produce any data. I'll talk about some of their actual data, apparently their actual data that they produced later to me when we were in Starbucks.
You took them to Starbucks?
They took me to Starbucks, and they bought me a coffee, so, you know, I can't be that angry with them.
Oh, so they're more generous than Ben Goldacre, then?
No, not. Ben Goldacre bought me pizza.
I'm joking, man.
Pizza.
I'm joking.
Don't you dare joke about Ben Goldacre.
It's too late. I've done it twice now.
So, anyway, then to qualify his statement that antibiotics altered gut flora in favour of yeast, he then said toxins in the yeast are immunosuppressive, and the toxins in yeast are used in transplant patients, not a derivative, but the exact toxins. I couldn't find anything to support this claim. It might be true, it might not. Who knows? I don't know that, and I'm sure you'd have to be in Big Pharma to know that, or, you know, someone who's a pharmacologist, or whatever. Mm. So he then said, by taking antibiotics, you introduce yeast to yourself. And that's when he said the ladies thing. About, yeah. I know, I was just sitting there in odd amusement. He was talking about yeast 1 minute, and then the next thing, you know, ladies, I know you've had it, fess up.
I don't know, maybe more research needs to be done.
Yes, but here's the thing, these claims aren't based on any research at all. But anyway, so then he said, according to Dr. Crook, the major cause of illness in the Western world is by taking antibiotics and introducing yeast to yourself. It's a major cause of illness in the Western world. He said, so Paul Jape then said, Dr. Crook conservatively estimated that 80 million Americans are affected by this, but I know that it's more. I know that it's more. And then, as if it wasn't bonkers enough, he then made the massive claim, yeast causes autism.
Yeah, this is where it kind of spun out for me. I mean, no, sorry, rewind 5 minutes when they started talking about how taking antibiotics, you know, gives yourself this yeast infection that's going to cause all these problems. I thought, that's a pretty major claim to make, and I'm sure we would have identified that by now if it was true.
Yeah, exactly.
So as soon as he said that, he went into the realms of, for me, conspiracy nut who is just going to spout whatever nonsense he wants to make a case, and that kind of proved it when he said that about autism that, as well.
Yeah, and this is kind of what he. This is kind of what they did. He then went on to say that autistic children inherit poor gut flora from the mother, and he said, "Yes, if your mother has had antibiotics, then they've got damaged gut flora, and of course, there's no way that these bacteria in your gut would ever reproduce at all. You know, that's completely beyond Paul Jape's thinking that gut flora as bacteria will reproduce. No, of course, they're going to be taken over by this yeast, and this candida." Is basically what this yeast is called, and candida is a very big thing in the quack world. It's, you know, it does exist, but it's not anywhere near as big as Paul Jape is making it out to be.
Yeah, because we just like to have some data when he says that.
Yeah, exactly. I would just like some data to prove this.
Because he had nothing to refer to. There was nothing for me to take a note of while I was listening to this. I just kept on remembering him saying, "Oh, you take antibiotics and you introduce yeast to yourself." And I imagined lots of unwell women taking oral antibiotics and slapping Marmite up. It's true. I couldn't. There was no. If there was data, I could have moved past that. I could have lost that image. But.
There's no data there at all.
Now, to be fair, on their website, they do cite some sources, but I believe Reese, being the thorough guy that he is, has looked at some of them, haven't you?
Let me just go over the rest of what... I'll talk about that in a second. The rest of what they said in a minute. So, only 1% of bacterial culture. Spirochetes are among the 99% of bacteria that do not culture. They are one of a group known as stealth pathogens. Stealth because spirochetes in the early stage of infection do not present to the IS as a pathogen, as an antigen. Consequently, we do not produce antibodies against them. That's one claim. It might be true, might not. Here we go. Autism and Lyme disease are connected. Lyme-induced autism study finds. And it's published in Medical Hypothesis.
Right.
Yeah. He says, I've treated over 10,000 children with Lyme disease. A good many of the children we found had the autism spectrum disorder.
Well, you would.
So apparently there's a correlation there. Mm. Apparently, but he's just, you know, I mean, autism... If you're going to be treating kids, you're going to treat kids who have autism as well as Lyme disease.
For sure.
Then there's a picture of a woman on there with thrush.
Oh.
Lovely.
Sorry, when you say with thrush, there's a picture of a woman with thrush. What kind of part are they focusing on?
They've got a dissected image of it.
Oh, right, okay. So, sorry, I was thinking of some 70s porn film.
A dissected image, is that like a Saw film? Like an after scene? Right, yeah.
No, you can have a look at the picture yourself if you want.
It won't be better than the one in my mind.
You can, yeah. But basically, then the rest of the evidence page is very, very short, and it just says oral probiotics can resolve urogenital infections. And there's basically no evidence. It says here, in a study that was reported in the Journal of Infection and Immunology, it found oral penicillin administered to experimental animals reduced the total population of anaerobic bacteria by a factor of 10 of 1,000, including beneficial bacteria, which are called lactobacilli. The good bacteria are killed off, potentially harmful bacteria rises rapidly. And that's all they said. And it just... It's very, very, very... small page with only a few links, and note that page is basically nothing. There's very little there. And yes, they talk about their website, which is bonkers. If you thought their talk was bonkers, you just got to have a look at their website. It starts at the top, disclaimer, nothing in this site should be construed as medical advice. I am not a medical doctor. I'm just sharing the results of my personal experience in researching yeast infections, autism, and associated illnesses. All claims are based on my own personal experience or information found through the internet. So I'm glad that he's put that out there, not that it changes what he's spouting is nonsense. And then he talks about mental illness, depression. It's apparently an infectious disease. So,
oh, God.
Yeah. Of course, there's no other thing or reason.
Something that pissed me off about the entire talk was, and I'm sure it pissed you off as well, because you got a mention too, they just said,
autoimmune problems. And they mentioned Crohn's disease. They mentioned type 1 diabetes.
Yes.
And they mentioned AIDS. Now, yes. I'm fairly sure they all work. The way that those things, the mechanisms, are totally different. Like, AIDS, it's like a house with no alarm indeed. Whatsoever. Okay, it just isn't working. And that's why they need to take their drugs to get their tea cans up. And many other types of diseases have, like, faulty or occasionally faulty alarm systems on their metaphorical house. But a type 1 diabetic is like a house guarded by a paranoid drunk with a shotgun who just shoots all over the place when anything even remotely bad happens. You get the diabetes because your own immune system has knackered your pancreas, kicked it to death. That's like, it's kind of like the opposite. So how on earth can they say it's caused by the same thing?
I know. And, you know, of course, they could all theoretically be caused by the same thing, causing the immune system to overreact, but it overreacts to different parts of the body.
Yeah, they'd have to explain how. Yeah.
And we were walking through St. David's 2 later on, trying to get to the Starbucks, and he said, and I said, one thing, Crohn's isn't caused by an infection. There's little evidence to show that. There was one study fairly recently that said it might be caused by mycelium paratuberculosis, but then that study was debunked and refuted a few times. And yeah, so he was like, oh, no, I'm sure it is, so I'll find some studies on PubMed and email them to you. As of yet, he hasn't.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, basically all these autoimmune diseases are apparently caused by infections caused by yeast being immunosuppressant. And yeah, at the end, he then went on to say that autism is an extreme manifestation of yeast infection, which just made me think, what? I was extremely confused by that. And later on, when we were in Starbucks, was it Gary Smith? Yes, Gary Smith said to me and this other person who tagged along, well, you might as well say that Paul's ME is a mild version of autism. No, you can't. They're two completely different things.
What the hell?
But what he should... I know what it is. That guy has got shares in Caniston. And he's saying to all the mothers, if your kid has autism, just slather him in Caniston.
Well, what's happened is Caniston's realised they can only target 50% of the population, and so this is their new method to target 100% of the population.
Brilliant.
But, I mean, it was a very odd talk. And then, if it was nutty before, they then linked all this to the decrease of the honeybee. And... because apparently the honeybee has declined by 80% since some time in the past. And shall I quickly go through their odd summary of how autism...
Yeah,
okay, so basically, we take antibiotics. 70% of all antibiotics are given to farm animals. Farm animals poop. The bees go onto this poop and they get yeast infections because of the antibiotics getting into their system. They get yeast infections, which causes them to be infected by other pathogens, and they die. So therefore, 80% of honeybees have died.
Because hang
on, the bees got a yeast infection when they're standing
because
on
of
cow
pat.
I can think of a lot of other problems you would get before a yeast infection by standing around in cow shit, surely.
But I think this is all irrelevant. What I want to know is, Rhys, is what does this have to do with September the 11th?
Well,
they'll make it part of it.
You know, to go for a bloody, you know, immune system problems to the bee. I mean, you may as well say that it's something to do with September the 11th. So
yeah,
well,
basically, you see,
crop
the
circles is coming up.
Shall I try and work this out?
Yeah, go on. Go
okay,
for it.
Okay, terrorists. They were stung by these bees, who gave them the antibiotics in their poison, which destroyed their immune system, and they got Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and of course they also got schizophrenia because that's a infection, of course, and they went mad. Of course, because everything's an infection caused by yeast killing your immune system, and yeah, the schizophrenia made them fly planes into a building.
I think
except it wasn't. That's not how it was. It was actually people the people on the ground who have all taken antibiotics, or their mothers have taken antibiotics, and they had schizophrenia and they hallucinated the plane, and it was actually George Bush.
Yes.
So there are two separate conflicting theories. There are two conflicting theories there.
Trev, I caught that joke, but, you know, I'm sorry, dude. I'm going to have to edit it out just to simply help you. To save your reputation.
What reputation does he have?
Thank you. I do think of this 6 degrees of September 11th game that we've just invented is probably quite distasteful. So maybe just this one.
In a second. But I did want to say something, because it's quite funny you mentioned it. There is actually a bunch of people that... you know, we're talking about conspiracy theorists, you know, September the 11th. There is one flavour of September the 11th conspiracy theorist that believes... it's the no planes theory, that the planes were actually edited into all of the video footage, whether it be...
was brilliant.
really? Can you... it's just absolutely incredible. And I think if anybody actually starts believing something like that, then it's in the realm of unfalsifiability, really. So there's no way you're going to get through to them. But I got a feeling, unfortunately, for these two guys with their yeast infections, they've kind of just really done a runner with it. Especially, it's almost like they've been trying to just
court that's the thing.
The media with the use of the bees in it as well, if you know what I mean. That was a popular story back then.
Basically what they've done, though, is they've had a hypothesis that you can sort of see where they come from. It might have, it's got plausibility at the very least. Got any evidence, and it's not got supported, but it's a hypothesis that's got some smell of plausibility.
Well, no, some plausibility, unlike homeopathy, which has none. But
no, exactly. You can see where they're coming from, and you can sort of see that it's got some plausibility, but it's not true, and there's no evidence to support it.
But they're trying to prove it.
And they've
gone
on a runner with it, and they're trying to prove it rather than look for any evidence for it. Rather than trying to look at their hypothesis and see, do some basic studies or basic trials to see whether there's any evidence to support it, no, there's nothing.
You're supposed to try and find evidence to falsify your hypothesis and see if that's possible. No, they're just linking to a bunch of other ideas, trying to create this weird web that will then hold up their theory, rather than just testing their theory.
Rather than testing it, they've just spun out of control, and I think they've gone past the point of thinking this is just a hypothesis.
Yeah.
And it's clearly the truth.
The one thing I'd say to them is, really, I mean, as far as the antibiotics link, you know, trying to stay on, you know, because they spun a lot of shit, but the one thing they wanted to say was there was antibiotics mixed with bees. But I would just say to them, well, antibiotics have been around for a long time now. Why is it only, you know...
why is it only the bees?
Yeah, and
that
why
are being
is it only
decreased by 80%?
And
why aren't
it only
humans
now
being killed off?
And why haven't we seen a gradual reduction in bees? What we've seen is just a massive, and it is a problem. The bees. There's been a very large problem with them. But what I was saying was, why only now? You know, we've been taking antibiotics for a long time. It's had plenty
80
of time.
Years
to,
or so.
We've had plenty of time for it to go into the food chain, etc., which is what they're claiming. And I'm just wondering, why is it only now that the bees have decided to, disappear or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. It's just they've... Well, of course, their theories come about now, so therefore it's all happening now. Hmm. But then one thing that happened at the end, I asked them a question that they didn't answer at all. They just sort of skirted around the issue. I said, right, okay, I have got Crohn's disease... and you're saying that Crohn's is caused by an infection rather than an autoimmune reaction. And the infection is what causes the inflammation. So how come when I take immunosuppressants, which would destroy my immune system or part of it, that I get better? How does that work when it's been proven that my my white cells drop and my inflammatory markers drop? And they didn't have an answer for that. They just skirted around the issue. Because, theoretically, if their theory or hypothesis is correct, then my Crohn's would be getting worse because I'd be able to be attacked even more by the infection. So taking an immunosuppressant would destroy my immune system and allow this supposed stealth infection to take over even more, causing my Crohn's to be worse. You'd have thought so.
Yeah, well, what their hypothesis would be saying, and they tried to explain it away, they did a bad job, but what they're basically trying to say is, according to their theory, actually, whatever drugs you're taking, which you say are immunosuppressants, they're saying that those drugs are actually suppressing whatever the infection is.
Yeah. They said it was suppressing the inflammation. But the thing is, it's not just an anti-inflammatory drug. There are a whole host of them out there. And these immunosuppressants, which they acknowledge do suppress the immune system, because they were talking about the yeast being used in transplant patients. And the same one that is used in transplant patients, or used to be used in transplant patients, they couldn't see that actually it would suppress my immune system, allowing this infection to run even more rampant throughout my body. But they tried explaining that away, and they just didn't. And then I went to Starbucks for coffee with them, and they started pulling out all sorts of canards, like vaccines can help to cause autism, and Paul Jape then was using Mercola to back up any of his theories, as well as various of the quack websites, but mainly Mercola. And he pulled out this thing about this Japanese study that showed that they stopped giving the MMR, and autism rates apparently dropped. But you could see quite clearly on this graph that autism rates continue to rise even after the MMR declined. And this was a very good study. I think someone redid the analysis, and it supposedly showed the opposite to the original study. But the original study showed that they stopped having MMR and autism rates started to rise, and therefore MMR clearly wasn't the cause for the rise in autism. But no, Mercola took this the wrong way, and so did Paul Jape. And it's all evidence for this immunosuppressant theory.
See, I thought that was going to go a lot worse, because when some old bloke invites a young lad for coffee, and then
in an elevator at 4 a.m.
Out from Japan, I thought it was going to go a whole different place. I'm relieved to hear that it was... but it's still nonsense.
Oh, God. You're a bad man, Trevor.
I'm on an anti-inflammatory at the moment.
Hang on, we've both been called bad men this evening.
Is it ibuprofen?
What's it called? Pyroxicam.
Oh,
it's
right.
A painkiller and anti-inflammatory. Because, if we did the stand-up thing, and I had a bit of difficulty standing up, so I went to the doctor. Because it's for months my knee's been quite bad, and he just fiddled around with my knee and said, "Hamstering." I thought, that's rubbish. I've never hamstered in my life. What on earth is that? But yeah,
you've never even met Richard Gere, have you?
No, exactly. How very dare you? But and he didn't laugh. But then he said, "Footballer's injury," and then laughed at me. That's not right. If you're going to make a joke about my weight, then laugh at my hamstring gag. But I don't care, because he gave me this gel to put on it, and it makes the pain go all fizzy and go away, and it's lovely.
Just to finish off now, this, of course, all links into cancer. Gary Smith did some research, and he found that angiotensin can cure cancer, basically. Or angiotensin antagonists. Something along those lines.
Was that published in the Daily Mail, was it?
No, it was a study that he published, but it was just a literary review. He didn't actually do any research at all.
Oh, he just read other shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Oh,
well, lots of fun. So, yeah, you can find that on the Pythagoras Trousers podcast. They did very wisely put a disclaimer at the beginning of that one. Basically saying...
This has nothing to do with this.
Saying, oh, bloody hell. Steady on for this one. Strap yourselves in, guys.
I will put a link to that alongside this episode in the show archive so people can go and check it out.
Cool.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, nice. And Reese's talk, which is actually great.
Thank you. That's actually a cut-down version of one that I do for Skeptics in the Pub groups.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Right, I've still got 10 minutes of you bastards because of the way you've been messing around with my podcast. So, Trev, you've at least got to have a Catholic story or something.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got no jingle this week. Sorry, I apologise. I've been very busy.
Why can't you play my jingle?
That's the software that plays the jingles is... it was hacking my system or something. It was bad news, so I had to get rid of it.
Oh, dear.
So
shall I just sing it again?
Yeah.
If you want to sing it again, go ahead.
Does Trev have a Catholic story this week?
Yay, brilliant. Yes, I have. A couple, actually. First one is this brilliant headline. A report finds fewer priests celebrating more masses at fewer parishes. They just put some numbers together, and basically, there are fewer and fewer priests. They're losing the number of Catholic priests, but there are more masses going on, but in fewer places. So if current trends continue, in about 50 years, there's just going to be one priest conducting one mass all the time, right now and yesterday, in all the languages in the world, and Klingon, and Elf, and we all have to go, including people that don't even exist, and everything. So maybe all the babies in limbo could come too.
Well, that's nice of them to invite the babies in limbo, because no one thinks about them.
No. And what about the unborn fetuses? Are they allowed as well?
Oh, exactly. They've made up a special place for all of them as
purgatory.
Well.
It's called Love purgatory, them. Where they get tortured endlessly.
What's the difference with purgatory and limbo then? Limbo is just unbaptized, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Purgatory is a different place where you basically get sent, if you've sinned, you get sent there.
That's right. If you're not evil and you can make up for your sins, you get sent there to serve your time.
You get sent to purgatory to serve your time, where you get tortured endlessly. Basically hell, but as in...
But both of them
before.
Have now been abolished by the Catholic Church, of course.
Have they?
Yeah,
have
they? This was quite a while ago.
I hope they emptied it first. Otherwise, that's just harsh.
The problem was, and this is a
problem...
This is a real problem in theology, is obviously if you're required to be baptized, at least as a minimum, never mind having to live a good life or live according to whatever the rules are, you need that to get into heaven. What happens to these poor children that die before their baptism?
Yes, exactly.
Right. So this, so the Catholic Church said, well, you know, at first they were like, well, you know, fuck them. You know, it's tough. Unfortunately, they're going to...
Well, that's kind of the problem.
They actually did for a while.
Oh, that was awful.
Well, the problem was they had...
You're making us gut laugh at that is just right.
They had no scripture to say otherwise, so that was the logical conclusion of the scripture, which was if you're not baptized... Oh, sorry, not scripture, but whatever the doctrine was. The rule was if you weren't baptized, that's where you went. And so... Obviously, people got upset with this, you know, good Catholics who had children who unfortunately were taken away from them. And they said, well, this doesn't sound very fair. This isn't the design of a loving God, surely. And so, believe it or not, it just so happened that whoever was the Pope at the time had a message from God who said, I've been misunderstood. Young children, they're okay. They always go to heaven, like dogs. Because everyone knows all dogs go to heaven.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so that's what happened there. So it was an instance of a pope all of a sudden having a revelation. So I'm just waiting for the day a pope has a revelation about condoms, and we might move on a bit.
Yes, hopefully so.
Because surely one of them had a revelation about evolution at one point.
Yes. Because they now sort of accept that, don't they?
Yeah, the Catholics do.
To an extent.
Can you believe it? The Catholics are actually quite enlightened.
As opposed to, the ones...
Older Catholics.
Down south.
Yeah, or the nutters. So,
mad. Okay, there's another cool Catholic story, though, that was on... it's been all over the place. The Irish government have stood up to the Catholic Church. There's a thing called the Cloyne Report that's just come out. And let's see. The Church's defence in recent months consists of claiming priestly paedophilia was a thing of the past, a product of laxity and corruption of general social atmosphere in the 60s and 70s, pushing the blame onto that awful liberal culture, not the Church. And unfortunately, the Cloyne Report assesses policies in the late 1990s, so we're talking about relatively contemporary Church practices. So yeah, it's actually on Feringula that I was reading that from, and PZ has a good look at it. And what's the fella's name? Basically the Prime Minister, and you know, Enda Kenny, has hit back. What was it? When he was Cardinal, Joseph Ratzinger said, "Standards of conduct appropriate to civil society or the workings of a democracy cannot be purely and simply applied to the Church." And he's basically said to him, bollocks to that. I am making it absolutely clear that when it comes to the protection of the children of this state, the standards of conduct which the church deems appropriate to itself cannot and will not be applied to the workings of democracy and civil society in this republic.
Man, that is so full of win that...
good man.
we need that guy over here.
Yes.
But that kind of reminds me that there was some speculation. I don't know if any of you saw it or can confirm it, that there was stories that Murdoch paid towards the last Pope's visit to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
As I said,
no, Evan, not that I can see.
I saw some speculation about it. If you can't confirm it, then we'll drop it. But I did see something about that. So
I should blame everything on Murdoch. I mean, it's not as if he doesn't deserve it.
I want more reasons to hate Murdoch, because clearly I just hate myself, but I want to hate him.
Yes, and so it's not his fault.
Yeah, as I said, I just read it somewhere. It may not be true.
Was that on Liberal Conspiracy? Because it's kind of a hint in the name.
No, it wasn't.
I'm kidding.
No,
I've never read that website.
It's probably somewhere in The Guardian or somewhere like that, because I read serious websites.
Yeah, but you occasionally read the Daily Mail, don't you?
Yeah, only for material for this podcast, not because I actually want some information.
I thought you said you only read intelligent things.
Okay, so you got me. Okay, sometimes I read less intelligent things, but only for entertainment value.
Okay, fair enough. I see where you're coming from now.
Yeah, okay. So when I meant read, I mean read for my enjoyment.
Yes.
Okay, now before we go, Trev, I want you to tell people about what happened on Monday and what's going to happen on Monday.
Well, there was a man on the train, and he came over to me, and I didn't ask him to, but he sat next to me. But then I did like tap the chair and invite him over. And then, is nobody going to stop me?
I was just making a deeply inappropriate thing that might have happened between me and some bum.
Carry on
the way home.
Hell, my imagination went straight to the toilet and what you did with him, to be honest, you know. All that was foreplay, what you were talking about.
So you know all about it, man.
Yeah, well, he was the other man.
I remember you.
Reese, you're a complete bastard. Am I going to get you back for what you just said there?
Oh, great. I had a perfectly lovely train journey back. I wasn't accosted by anyone. We had our Skeptics in the Pub meeting on Monday, and John and I did some performing and that and stuff. And we tried doing stand-up.
Emphasis on tried.
Thanks. Cheers.
I'm kidding. It's very good.
I seem to remember it going well, but I get the feeling that after you survive some stand-up, you just suddenly think, hooray!
You become a lot more optimistic.
Fantastic. Yeah. I have not yet seen or heard any of the recording. So I'm not willing to big myself up.
No, it was very good. I can vouch.
Oh, cheers.
Welcome.
You got one fan. But then again, you know, you may be
it's
just
me.
Saying that because he accused you of being a gay.
With you, John.
That's
with
right.
You.
And you're the gay stalker.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with my sexuality. I got no, you know, you can say whatever you want, Reese. It doesn't hurt me. I'm worried about Trevor's feelings.
I'm not comfortable with my sexuality, but that's because of all that crazy shit that turns me on.
Well, as someone said to me today, I said to them, I'm comfortable with my sexuality, and then they turned around to me and said, yeah, but no one else in the room is.
That's good.
That's harsh, man.
Yeah. So anyway, me and Trev did some stand-up, and it was kind of fun. I know I was nervous as hell. Some people said I didn't look it. Some people noticed my hands were shaking as if I had a baby in my hands. You know, it was good fun. And unfortunately, Dean Burnett caught me a cropper because he said, did you enjoy it? Yeah, I said. He says, would you do it again? Yeah, why not? Good. Do you want to come along Monday? So, Trev, have you got the details about Monday?
Yes, the Buffalo Bar in Cardiff at 7:30 on Monday, the 25th of July. The Bright Club, it's called.
So, the Bright Club is an event that occurs in the Buffalo Bar. There's a group on Facebook you can go and check out. But this Monday, Trevor and I are going to be performing what we did at the Skeptics. Hopefully, I'm going to be a bit better, and I will probably try and do it from memory. Trev, have you got anything? We don't want to release any details of what we're doing, because we don't want to spoil it. But Trev, have you got anything you're going to plug yourself?
We're not entirely sure exactly how much time we've got, so I don't know what's going to be in the set. I'm going to try and limit the amount of masturbation jokes I do. But I don't know if you noticed that I was nervous. My hand was shaking a lot, but I was trying to rub one out while I was up there because it tends to relax me.
Oh,
okay. Whatever gets me through the performance.
Yeah, but both your hands were out at the time. What the hell were you using?
I'm a talented man, what can I say? Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
And if you think that's inappropriate, you should hear the rest of his material.
Good point.
Yeah. We're going to wrap it up now. We haven't missed anything, have we?
No. I don't think we need to go over anything else.
No. I'm done. Quick, before we say something dreadful or something else dreadful.
No, we've already done that. So I'm going to wrap it up.
That's what she said.
Whoa. Reese. You burned me. Okay,
thanks everybody. We're gonna split.
Yeah. Thanks so much. We'll catch you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye.